Hello, sex nerds and curious onlookers. Hello, I see you too. Hey, guys, have you gotten your goodies from adamandeve.com yet? Well, in the name of all that is titillating, why not? They're offering a kick-ass deal to the listeners, and it helps support the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast. Just type in offer code SEXNERD at checkout to get, hey, 50% off almost any item in their humongous store. And you're probably buying that thing you wanted anyway, hey. Free shipping, 3 free adult DVDs, which is a very fun game. What am I going to get? And an extra super secret special gift. You can put in your body, on your body, who knows? Is it going to be glass? Is it going to be creamy? We don't know. It's super secret. And FYI, adamandeve.com is very discreet. So don't worry about anything funny looking on your credit card statement or in the package. Always looks very neutral. So hey, secrets. Go to adamandeve.com, type in sex nerd, and get 50% off almost any item in the store. Free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and that super secret gift. That just sounds like so much fun. I mean, you deserve to have that much fun. I do. Let's do this.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
All right, hello monkeys. Hi Dave.
Hi. We're just monkeys now.
Naughty monkeys, dirty monkeys, dirty.
Hello monkeys.
Hello sex friends. No, that's weird. Sexy nerd friends.
This podcast
nerds.
Is not for humans. Oh, no.
No, I went
no, 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 that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
It's a little scary.
It's okay. I'm really excited. Okay, so we have someone in the studio that I've wanted on the show for a long time. I'm not going to lie.
Dave Ross. Hello. How are you?
Dave. Well, yes. Why I'm always happy when you're in the studio. However, tonight, today, whenever, good morning, we have Jaya Ma in the studio who is... I mean, Jaya, welcome, first of all.
Hello.
Or I should say, hello.
Oh, sexy voice it.
Yeah.
I think of you as one of the master sex educators, like in the
Thank
sex
you.
Ed arena. So it's really, I'm really proud to like have you on, like, got her.
Yeah.
So having you here today, it's like a cornucopia of things that I could have you come to talk about, but I would love to talk about mainly. We did have a hand job episode, geeked up about hand jobby type using your hand stuff, but you, well, tell us about yourself because there's a book specifically that I really want to talk about.
Okay. Well, I'm a somatic sexologist, and what that means is I can work hands on, and we say hands on, hands in. And well, I started off actually doing very woo-woo stuff. The Tantra land, I say I spent a lot of time on Tantra Island. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know who a Tantra is, it's sort of like bridging sexuality and spirituality together. And then I got off Tantra Island. I escaped with my whole heart and got into more of like Western sexology and went to school for just studying sexology as much as I can. But my big passion is really from a hands-on perspective. I think that there's like sex therapists who talk about sex and look at it from a emotional point of view. And then there's the people who are looking at sex, maybe like a chemist who works with hormones, an endocrinologist, something like that. And then there are people who look just at the physical aspect of sex. And I like to bridge it all together. And so from a somatic perspective, which means body-based, I'm a total sex geek. So all
totally.
The geeks, I'm a big sex geek. I want to know everything. And I'm a sex geek who practices what she preaches. Like, I think that's the big thing for me is like, I can't teach something if I haven't done it. So for me, it's like, okay, all right, 50 Shades of Grey came out. That means I have to learn BDSM now. So,
is that the portal, like when you were like, okay, now I'm going to go down the rabbit hole?
Yeah, it was sort of like that thing of like, okay, if I'm going to really start teaching this, because people are coming to me going, I read 50 Shades of Grey, now I want to have an orgasm from a crop licking my clitoris. Okay, that means I have to actually like go out, get a crop, figure out how to do this because I'm doing it from a body-based perspective as opposed to just like I'm going to teach something that I've never done. I don't do that. My book that just came out actually a couple weeks ago, it's called Sex Positions You Never Thought Possible. I hired someone to roll around with me to do every single position in the book because I'm like I can't write these positions unless...
Whoa, you know. Where do you hire that person? Well, just like the back of the LA Weekly?
Yeah. No, I hired another somatic sexologist.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. What's the hourly on that?
Yeah. It's expensive.
I would bet. Yeah.
How many hours did it take?
Well, we did 3-hour sessions. So we did 3 3-hour sessions of rolling around with pillows and cushions and all kinds of fun things. Like, I think that's the most fun about the book project was I had to write it in 3 weeks. And not only that, I had to like roll around, spent a week like rolling around going, okay, wait a minute. Note. Hold on. We have to stop for a second. Make a note that put a pillow here, you know, little something under the butt there. Makes it more comfortable. So.
Did you have in mind what you were going to do already, but you just need to know if they were possible? Or?
Yeah, I had them all written out, and then it was like, okay, I've got all these 100 positions written out. Now I've got to like go back and check everyone. Like, okay, this one's an anal one. This one's like little mixed with a little BDSM. This one's mm-hmm. you know, this one's for her G spot. Let's see if it actually like works.
This is very exciting. It's good to hear because I'm sorry, but I. I'm not that expressive of my criticism of what's going like on in certain aspects of when people maybe write books and aren't really fully doing or practicing what they preach. Right. And so it's so good to hear someone be like, yeah, I did every single one of those. I'm like, yeah.
Every book that you read that I write, I've done it. Mm-hmm. So you can think about great. That when you're reading my books. Jai has done it.
No, I really want to read your books. I'm fascinated, by the way, with the concept of research sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is... Oh, well, I think it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Well, sex geeks will appreciate this. One of the things I give all my clients are something I call sex labs,
mm-hmm.
where I create like a little hypothesis. And the hypothesis might be like, let's say we're going to do female ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
And the hypothesis might be, okay, well, if I do this little like 2-finger technique that Jaya taught me, where I have one finger on the head of the G-spot and one finger on the back of the G-spot, and I'm stroking in a come hither motion with an anchor in a pool that it then she bears down with her pelvic floor muscles, she's going to squirt. And the technique is just that. So we're going to spend a half an hour just working on finding the G-spot, finding what feels best on the G-spot, and then having her push out to see if she will squirt. And then you write notes afterwards, like, this is what worked, this is what didn't work, this is what was really good. I actually encourage the couples just to share what worked,
mm-hmm.
and always do positive feedback as opposed to criticizing your partner.
Okay.
So, yeah. So sex labs, it's a totally geeky thing. And I schedule time every week to do a sex lab.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of cosmic because I think it was, I don't know, a couple weeks ago we talked about how I got shamed in a sexual experience recently mm-hmm. because I took like just sexy time. Dave's looking at me very entertained. And he was on the other person's side. And I immediately went into like sex lab and we're like, wait, to the left, like up.
Well, I was on the other person's side because the other person didn't seem to know that it was a sex lab.
It's me. How do you know?
Well, that's true.
It all becomes a sex life.
But definitely, sex labbing is very important. I like that you do it weekly.
And you don't need a partner to do it. This is another thing. Like, we think, oh, I have to have a partner. Well, you can do sex lab with yourself. I did a self-pleasure project where I self-pleasured or masturbated.
That's right.
Every day for 101 days straight. And I wrote about it and blogged about it. You can check it out, 101daysofpleasure.com.
I do have a question about sex lab because I never have really done that.
Right.
I mean, I guess I'm just not as much of a sex geek as you
as
guys.
As we are.
Which is fine.
Right.
But I do... One thing that I do wonder about it is, you were just talking about doing like very specific motions with your hands to make a woman
ejaculate.
Uh-huh. Sure, but doesn't the amount that one might ejaculate, or the time it takes for someone to ejaculate, or the fact that they'll ejaculate at all, have to do with how turned on they are?
It can be how turned on they are, but you know, ejaculation and orgasm are two separate things.
I do know that, but like. Either way, doesn't being turned on contribute to both orgasm and ejaculation?
I can ejaculate without any arousal.
Okay. Well,
I mean, like right now, I could
make myself do it. I can. You don't even have to. I don't even have to touch myself.
That's a special case, right? Like you've learned how to do that.
You're a Jedi.
I guess what I'm saying is like sex labbing seems sort of like the act of sex labbing in itself seems like the results would be inaccurate because usually you're not in that type of self-study.
Well,
mode.
The thing is there can be arousal and there can not be arousal, but there is no point to like people chase the orgasm. So what I say for Sex Lab is it's just about the learning. It's just about the learning of, oh, I'm doing this thing and here it feels a certain way or it doesn't feel a certain way. Or, and there is arousal that happens. I think that, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I'm a little bit in like the learning mode, so it's not as arousing. But then when you go to have sex later,
it's really hot.
Then it's really hot because you've kind of like figured these things out and you're not fumbling around with them anymore.
Sure. I would also imagine that some people are turned on just by the idea of learning about sex.
Like
you two. Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me? So talking about learning about sex. Oh, wait, okay. You said anchor and pull.
Uh-huh.
And are those terms for like how if you're kneading, like planting your finger and then the kneading versus like
so
gliding?
This is the best way. Is if everybody who's listening can do this. So take your back of your hand and rub your finger like across the back of your hand. Just like without
you're slicing
like,
bread or slicing
Yeah, you're just like going over the skin like friction. That's the way most people touch like internally vaginally. It's like kind of like this in and out motion. That's what the penis does, right? But most women don't orgasm from that kind of motion. The best pressure for the G-spot is actually anchoring into the skin and then pulling the skin. So if you're still in the back of your hand, you anchor in.
Good to know.
See, I didn't have a terminology for that, but there is the grounding and like moving, mushing or kneading versus the friction.
So anchor and then pull towards you. And then so that anchor and pull, I mean, these are just simple, like find the spot and then find what the spot likes the best. And so in my experience, I've had my hands in lots of vulvas and penises and all kinds of things. So because I've had that experience,
I just did like a fisting motion.
That hands-on experience, what I've noticed is that there are certain spots who like certain different types of touch. And G-spot tissue, which is actually more, I'm getting geeky here, more like a tube that's spongy than it is a spot that everybody's looking for. It's all like, how do I find the G-spot? Well, it kind of has parts. And like, I was just working on a girl a couple of nights ago, and we were learning her internal anatomy. And literally, it's like, okay, you go in and you feel like that rough spot, kind of like in towards the middle. Well, her G-spot, I'd call it like an area instead of a spot, was sort of tilted. So it was like tilting towards the right. Even in further back, it was even more tilted towards the right. So it was like, okay.
So it was like a curved road.
It had like a curve to it. So there was a really nice rough spot right in the middle. But then if I went into the right, there's like a gully on the other side. And there's, and all women have the gully on either side. So you can feel that gully. And then.
You call it the gully? I think of it as the trenches.
The trenches.
Okay, gully.
The
that
trenches,
sounds more
the gully.
Country.
Yeah, I'm a country girl. I grew up on a farm. And so in the gully, there was this really, really rough area. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's like it.
Really?
But then even further back, there was another. And then there's another on the bottom. So there's like, we're like looking for this one little spot. But the G-spot can be like all over, kind of like split into all different kinds of little
erectile
wads.
You're looking for that sensation. Yeah.
But then if people don't know what they feel, what it feels like, how they know when you're in the right spot if they never felt it. So that's a whole like that felt experience of it. And I think that's the difference, you know, and then knowing how to touch that spot, like the anchor and pull on the right side in the gully where it was, because every single woman's different and every single body's going to be different. So it's that experimentation of like knowing what to feel for. And then when you find what you're looking for, that hot spot, how to touch that hot spot. Another spot that's overlooked is the U spot. I like talking about this one a lot.
Tell me, okay, because I've been doing some, because I have mentioned like how I want to do more geekiness, like deeper in the badge area. It's like all this, it's like this fascinating cul-de-sac. And I mean, I've found some like maybe past the G spot stuff, like on the upper wall.
The A spot.
The A spot.
Or AFE zone, some people call it.
Anterior fornix.
Fornix erogenous zone.
Erogenous zone. But yes,
where is that?
3 to 4 inches in.
Okay.
On the roof. Like same like the G-spot, likes the same kind of pressure, anchoring and pulling in.
So same.
Is it a similar sensation?
It can be more intense for a lot of women. A lot of women like it better than the G-spot.
Oh, okay.
Similarly,
the
AFE zone.
Zone,
yeah.
Okay.
Similarly intense, but yeah, a different kind of, like if sensation were a sound, it's a different sound.
It's like a deeper pulse. If I was going to say for me, from my experience, it's like deeper. It's like that deeper, like, if it was a sound, whereas the G-spot might be more like,
interesting. I haven't thought
in my body.
So it's a thicker, more enduring.
It's a thicker, yeah, thicker
feeling.
Deeper.
Sure.
You've probably been there more than me.
Yeah.
I'm just starting my
maybe
AF journey. No, U spot. Okay.
Okay. So U spot. This is an area that likes totally different touch, and this is why I bring it up is a lot of people don't take the time to locate it or to touch it, and don't know how to touch it. So the U spot is actually the urethral opening. It's right above the vagina, the vaginal opening or the introitus, mm-hmm. and below the clitoris. And you're gonna look for just a little tiny opening. It's the pee hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so that area will swell up. It's actually, some people call it the head of the G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the very beginning of the G-spot where the ejaculation will come out. And it will puff up like a donut around the U-spot. It gets like this really lovely, when it's fully engorged, like totally puffed up. It looks
like
a donut.
I've seen mine fully engorged. Oh,
like a full donut? Like a regular sized donut? Cool.
Yeah. Yep. There
I've definitely never seen
that. I have
an
amazing photograph of it. We had a girl on a set of my oral sex videos when we were mm-hmm. filming them, and she was an ejaculator. And I was like, all right, don't ejaculate. We want to get a picture of fully engorged, like ready to ejaculate girl, and of the U-spot, because I really wanted that picture of the donut mm-hmm. around the urethral opening. And so we stopped to take a moment to take a picture of mm-hmm. of that. So now I have it forever, the picture. I can prove that it exists because it was right there on a real human being.
I want to see this picture.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You have this on your iPhone?
No, I don't have it on my iPhone, unfortunately.
Darn.
No. Darn. We'll have to put it up on like Facebook or something. No.
Yeah, Instagram that shit. Put it on Instagram.
We'd get so kicked off.
I'll have to try and explore that more when fully aroused, but when there has been play there, it generally is irritating for mm-hmm. my body.
Mm-hmm.
But I know lots of females are like, woo!
How are you touching it though?
Light circles, okay, a little good. Across it, a little over here, a little over there.
Have you tried tapping? Just tapping. Really light tapping?
I think I've experienced that, and it's very
hammering.
No.
Have you tried hammering? Used a hammer?
No hammers. This bruises very easily.
Well, not in my experience.
Rubber mallet. No, I mean, I could try tap. Maybe not directly on it. The directly uh-huh. on just like is like
indirect.
A big no. It's yep. just like an immediate like, ooh, run away. I have a question.
Have you tried a tip of a tongue?
All of that sounds horrible to me.
Really?
Like I immediately want to like
on what
like,
on the U spot
on the U spot. Like now maybe
sounds
around because I know there's several.
The erectile tissue is more like around it.
Yeah,
so
maybe
not directly on the hole.
Yeah, but that just sounds like because I'm immediately accessing like weird feelings from memories of that.
Uh-huh.
Right. to the left. Oh God. But anyway,
yes.
That's just my body. It's fine. I have a question. Oh,
I also have a question, but. You said I have a question before I said that.
Yeah,
so
true.
It's all
I'm
you.
I'm in line. I'm first.
Go for
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, I want to switch to hands. Like, I want to talk about general, like, concepts of how to use your hands.
Right.
Erotic touch. Because, there's some people that, like, they'll give you a massage, they'll touch your body, you can make out with them, and they just have this sexy touch to them. And some people just get how to handle, muscles and some people are very like skin pulling, like, don't really.
Yeah.
And I know, I remember going to a class of yours, Jaya, a while ago, like years probably, and you talked about like touching just the skin versus touching the muscle, getting mm-hmm. pressing down to bone, and just and how do you teach people how to touch sensually and not just sort of be like pawing at you in this very unsexy way,
the mawing, pawing,
and then
the faking and taking it instead of communicating with your partner.
Man,
so.
Faking and taking it,
is
the phrases.
Memoir I should have written when I was 25.
So first off, this on the fake it and take it thing, like I really encourage people to speak up,
mm-hmm.
not to criticize your partner, but to actually speak up. And mm-hmm. a really easy way to do that when someone's touching you in a way that you don't want to be touched is to find something that you do like, if it's just the fact that they're touching you.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that you're touching me, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that you're not touching me, honey.
And then but, or it would be better if
you... no buts.
Unless you're
no
talking
buts,
about the butt.
No, it would be better. Unless, of course, you're talking about the butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love
butt.
When you touch me, butt.
I love when you're touching my butt.
Yes.
And it would
I'm
just...
going to be over here thinking about butts for a second.
Okay.
Drive my butt wild. If you...
Hey, get off your butt and touch my butt.
A whole lot deeper. that kind of like enticing language mm-hmm. as opposed to like... You just never touch me right. Of course, then they're not going to touch you right. So
yeah, yikes.
So just a little word of advice and not faking until.
Oh, she's rolling up her sleeves.
Yeah, I can't help it.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm like getting into touch mode. Mm-hmm. So one of the first clues for touching, I'm going to use you. Can I use you?
Sure.
Ooh. Oh, I'm going to use him. Mm, yum.
He's mine. So,
women
oh, wait,
use
no,
me.
It's fine.
So women the, like the, to use the, me.
Is it? Do I have permission to use him?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. I have to.
You didn't
I have
ask
to check
me.
In too.
Why didn't you ask me? You asked her.
Do I have permission to use you?
I'm sick of this matriarchy of a society.
Okay, so I'm using him. And touch begins. I'm about, I don't know what, 3 or 4 inches above his arm. Touch,
terrified.
Touch mm-hmm. begins before you touch. And I think that this is a really important thing to remember because when I often ask guys to touch me, I already gave you a hint, but touch my arm. So, you know, he paused a second and then touched my arm. So that there is a, thank you for touching my arm.
You're welcome.
I love watching.
a slowness coming into the body.
She's hovering.
And then I'm, you know, I'm sensing like, okay, now I have his hair.
She's getting closer.
And then, you know, there's that heat and that anticipation is really important when it comes to touch. That moment of like, is she going to touch my cock? Is she going to, you know, like.
That is what I'm wondering right now.
Is he going to kiss me? You know, when is that moment going to come? And then there's the skin and there's the feeling of the skin. And there's a sense that your hand is melting into their body and becoming part of their body. Mm-hmm. And then there's the next layer, which is the fascial layer, which is the body stocking, people call it. But it's like a sweater that surrounds all of the muscles in the body. Mm-hmm. And it's very slippery, so you can kind of slide back and forth if you want to feel that. Not that it's the most sensual thing, but if you're a geek like me, I'm like, I can get totally into your fascia. Oh my God, your fascia is so sexy.
She's like cupping, or she's, you know, holding...
Very gently holding my forearm, yeah.
And just slowly.
It's really cool,
it
by the
down.
Way, the way you slowly approach my
you
arm.
You can't talk now.
I know, I'm very.
The cock. Yeah. I'm imagining
the way you slowly gave me a blowjob. That was
yeah,
that was great.
Really good. And you can do all this with your mouth, too. I mean, like, we think of touch just with our hands, but I mean, literally, like, with your mouth, with your penis, when you're going to enter a woman, I mean, you can do it in such a way that it's so delicious.
Sandra was just mouthing her forearm.
Yeah, I was just trying it out,
guys. She's practicing. And then the next layer is muscle. And so then you can get into kneading muscle or, you know, however you want to move muscle. And again, just like the G-spot, there's different ways that different areas of the body like to be touched. Mm-hmm. And then under the muscle is bone, and bone really likes compression. You know, it likes to be held. It likes to be, it likes, it, you can completely change a woman's and a man's state, nervous system. Like, say your partner is really stressed. Like, I just had the most horrible day ever. Mm-hmm. And you want to get them more in the mood and a little bit like down, we could say down regulated, which is mm-hmm. when the nervous system literally just calms down. And it's so simple. And it's literally bone. I mean, the bones are so
really?
Important. People do not think the bones are sexy, but bone is like just like what I'm doing on your shoulder right here.
Like it squeezing
is like
she's cupping his shoulder.
Just
or,
yeah, it's not very hard.
And the
at all.
Hands fit right into bone. And when right. it comes, like I'm getting a lot of complaints lately from women who are like, I just want my guy to like be a man and fuck me. Like mm-hmm. I want to be taken. I want to feel that sense of being taken because men have gotten kind of soft. Mm-hmm. I think in lovemaking, or they're afraid to approach, or
sure.
they're afraid to, you know, like do these things. And I think that I've been doing a lot of training lately with men and how to like really take a woman. And a lot of it comes down to the bones.
And can you
what do you mean?
I
want
to know what you're doing to his shoulder because okay. I'm thinking bone.
It was really just like
pressing through and getting.
No, it wasn't that hard at all. Just sort of like cupping my shoulder.
So,
and
but,
like
but your hand, the hand position is really important.
Literally, is this, about
this,
right?
this part of your
so
hand.
So Dave's palm was on my shoulder bone,
right into,
pushing the middle of my palm in directly
feel
into
feel
her shoulder.
Feel how my hand is. Feel how my hand is, like right
yeah.
here. Okay,
wait, and then wait.
How do I do
so
this?
It's like,
I gotta
it's,
do this
Jaya,
to Sandra.
It's not aggressive, but it is
I miss you.
Stiff.
Okay, Jaya's reaching over.
I think we need to describe this, though.
So she's pressing down into my shoulder. Oh, the meaty part of your palm is uh-huh. pressing just inside my shoulder so that you're connecting right there. Mm-hmm. So fleshy.
Like a stiff part of your hand pushing directly into the bone, right?
And I call them bony handles because the hand
you're
fits perfectly
here.
In them. It's like the meaty part of the hand fits perfectly into the shoulder in that way, like, and wraps around Mm-hmm. It was the front. It's not the shoulder blade. It's the front.
Right.
Like wrapping around the deltoid.
I know when massage therapists kind of push on your shoulders mm-hmm. down into your body, it feels mm-hmm. really so good.
Right. So, I mean, and that's the thing. What this tells the body is, one, it's safe to open up. Mm-hmm. Two, it literally goes right to the nervous system and says, relax. So you've got this like relaxation.
She's like, okay, I'm thinking, on her jaw. So you don't want to be like, it feels
Sandra
weird
is
when
literally
like,
licking herself in front of us.
No, because if you think like, oh, I need to access your bones, and then but then you're like using your bony finger to push someone's bones, yeah. then it's just bone against bone, that's kind of unsexy.
Like bone against bone is not hot. Is not, like when you're giving somebody a massage, this is different than a massage. This is not like, you do not want to massage people's bones.
Yeah, that's
that is not hot. Mm-hmm. But there are certain places like the shoulders, like just putting your hand on your partner's shoulders that say, I've got you, you're safe, mm-hmm. I'm relaxing. There's the sacrum, which is the triangular bone at the base of the spine.
I mean, was that
and the hand literally fits like right into the sacrum. So it's, I'm going to turn around and show you. And so like if you follow the spine down, and then you've got the coccyx, which is the tailbone. Your middle finger can like slip in between their butt cheeks.
Ooh, stop it.
Right under the coccyx. And
she's just flirting with her eyes.
And then, I know. I can't help it. I get this thing. And then you can do oral sex. Like you using your hands during oral sex, it's a really big thing. Like you can put your thumb inside her vagina. I'm giving a lot of girl techniques. I should give some guy techniques.
Female on her back. You're sitting.
She's on her back.
Her legs.
I'm in between her legs. And you can kneel, or if she's on the bed, it makes it really easy because then you can be down on the floor. And your palm is cupping her sacrum, which is the triangular bone at the base of the spine. And your thumb can go inside the vagina while you're working on her clit with your lips.
It seems like you need really big hands, because if my thumb were in someone's vaginally, I'd barely be able to get my fingers like right.
I'm
going to
get up on this table, and you can totally do it on me.
I don't believe you. There's a lot of mics on this table, Jaya. Just push it all.
It all goes to the wayside.
Yeah, now it is.
He's like protecting his mic. He's pulling his mic and turns it.
More like protecting my I don't even know.
He's like
my ability to speak.
Of Jaya.
I'm just over here enjoying myself.
Totally.
No, it's fine.
It works,
man.
And you can do it on guys. Like if your guy's open to prostate stimulation or open to like having something in his butt, then you can do this technique on the guy too, where you're cupping his sacrum. One finger inside his anus while you're going to town giving mm-hmm. him, what a kind of oral pleasure he wants. I do have an oral sex book coming out in January.
He's so just excited. All kinds of writing and stuff.
I know.
You're so
I'm writing a lot.
Prolific.
I like writing. Yeah. I like being prolific. I like getting material out into the world.
Content creation.
Yes.
Way to do that. Yeah.
I'm on a mission.
Yeah. What's your mission?
My mission is to help people unleash erotic ecstasy. And I have to add to that, and one of the ways that I'm doing that is by helping the world view of sex change, because I think that we have a very negative view about sexuality throughout the world. There are some places that are more sex positive, but I think as a culture, we have to shift our thinking of our definitions of sex and how we feel about sexuality, because it is something that holds people together. And I think it's really important in throughout our lives, and not something that stays static, but something that changes. And I want to help people see it as something that should be cultivated and celebrated. And that helps them unleash their ecstasy.
You should just transcribe that. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Alliance?
I didn't.
Conference?
No.
I didn't go either.
No. This is the problem with having a three and a half year old.
Another conference.
It sounds like a conference.
Talk about like ASEC conference. The Catalyst conference. Just all of these conferences. So yeah, there's that one. Anyway, did you have a question, Dave?
Did you
Ross?
Forget about your question?
No, I didn't. Oh, my question was a while ago before we started talking about hands. Mm-hmm. It'd be weird to ask that question now.
Okay.
It's not
weird.
Related.
No.
Because I have stuff.
Do you want to get on the table and I can demonstrate on you?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would totally be excited about that.
Oh, I was kind of joking, but yeah, sure.
No, you could get up here. You want to get up here?
What are we going
to
do?
Well, I was going to demonstrate this sacrum thing. I don't have to put my finger in your ass, but I can show you with your clothes on, because they teach
have
this whole class with your clothes on.
Experience?
Sure. I will say that we're getting into territory that's kind of making me uncomfortable. But yeah, sure.
I like to make people uncomfortable, but comfortable.
Huh.
Just that edge, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm intrigued.
To make
and
you
scared.
Feel relaxed, but you should be a little nervous.
I'm not relaxed.
I think it keeps things hot to be a little nervous.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
You know?
But
like
also,
to have that little like butterflies in the stomach and what's going to happen? And
yeah,
I think that's great.
Keeps you young.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she can take her if you want.
You know I'm underage, right?
Are you? Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, we all
I need
are.
To see your ID first. I can take from her.
You can do it to me.
Look, it's the decision of who we're going to open my horizons.
Okay, how do we do this?
It's
for
not like,
you?
Also, it's not like I'm not excited to do this. It's just that I'm uncomfortable
by anything. We can take the mic out, and you can hold the mic over by his face, and then you can put his bum right up here.
All right.
Wait.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got... the mics don't stretch.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's attached.
Just
all right.
Speak loud, Sacrum Bob.
Sacrum Bob?
Okay.
All right, what do?
Okay.
I don't even know.
Pop your butt right here.
Okay, Dave is sitting on the table.
Okay. Okay, get up there more. Okay, there
we go.
I'm going to slip my hands right underneath here.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we need it.
Here's her hand between my legs.
Okay.
Hey, Mom. Hi, Mom.
Okay, so I have my hand in between his legs. If he was lying down, I would have his sacrum. See how I have my sacrum, my hand right, like, cradling him?
Oh, thank you.
Wait a minute.
She's taking pictures.
definitely put this on Instagram.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, wait, okay. I took a picture. Okay, so I see your hands coming.
This is my yearbook photo.
So I would be cupping him, and then
hey,
I can, Katie. I can get my thumb, you know, I'm not going to really do it, but, you know, I can get my thumb.
Do you want me to, should I lay down? Would that be easier?
If you were laying down, it would be the best, but I don't know if we can lay down on this table.
Yeah, I might break it.
Yeah. No, okay, actually, I see your hands do.
Down, you know, I could use my other hand to do things. La, 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 la. And I'd be going down on him.
So just having your fingers placed at his sacrum just as a nice grounding sensation. Yeah. See,
thank you.
You're welcome.
You always thank your partner when you're done.
Also thank you.
Yes. So
that was fun, Dave. Welcome back to the table.
Thank you. And if he was laying down, it would actually be comfortable for him because that was probably not
extraordinarily comfortable. Hold myself up and not sit on your hand.
Yeah. Well, it would be good if you were sitting on my hand.
It's so funny. You are at a level of comfort with this stuff that I am not at. That's like the most fascinating part to me.
My cheeks hurt from smiling so much in the last 5 minutes. This is really fun.
Were you always this open sexually?
You know, it's been a journey. I have to say that one of my personal missions is to discover what is erotically possible. Mm-hmm. And in discovering what is erotically possible, it's always releasing layers of shame about sex.
Sure.
Because, you know, I grew up Catholic, and it was the, you know, good girls don't, and save it till marriage, and have a million kids because you don't use birth control, and you will go to hell.
Yeah.
You know, like all those things. And women, be submissive to your husbands. And I mean, like, I grew up with a lot of very intense, indoctrinated stuff. And then over time, and I was always like a sexual creature. I tell this story in my oral sex book, which is my first experience of sexual shame. I was like, I don't know, maybe 5. I might have been even younger. And you know the whole, like, I'll show you mine, you show me yours games. Well, I've been playing those for a long time.
Oh, really?
There was this neighborhood boy. When I was 2, I was making my mom was babysitting this other boy, and I like really wanted to see what his stuff was about. So I made him I told him to get naked and jump up and down on the bed so I could watch his penis flop. Anyway, I have all these stories from,
wow.
I was just, I think like I kind of came in, I think, you know, how some people are gifted at certain things. One of my teachers says some people are just erotically gifted, just like in Native American culture, they have like, you're gifted at being a shaman, or you're gifted at playing the drums or whatever. It's like, in our society, we don't honor the people who are gifted in the erotic arts. So
not
anyway,
at all.
So amen to that. Go for the people who are gifted in erotic arts. And so there's an element of me that kind of came in that way, but then it got shamed. And so my first experience really of sexual shame was when I got caught in the bushes with a boy playing, you know, some I'll show you mine. I was showing him mine, and I came out, and I didn't know, like, I was across the street, and I wasn't supposed to be across the street, so I thought I was in trouble for being across the street, so I went, and I ran, and I hid under the bed, and my grandmother was like, come out, and I promise I won't whip you, and so I came out, and she's like, well, what were you doing? And I told her what I did, because I had no idea that what I did was bad. Mm-hmm. I just thought I was across the street, so I did something bad. Mm-hmm. And I told her, you know, like, well, I pulled down my pants, and I was showing him, you know, my whatever. I didn't know what my tutu, I think, is what I called it then.
Huh.
And she beat me, like, really intensely with fly swatter. And
how?
So I got this whole idea that, like, that was a pleasurable experience. And so therefore pleasure is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I am bad. a bad person because I enjoyed this thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that was like my first experience that really around oral sex, because I was having the boy licking me at, like, this was five. I'm revealing a lot of, okay. Anyway, I talk about it in the book.
You went beyond showing. You were just like, lick it.
Yeah, yeah. So I was, and how do you know, like, these things? It's just like, I think kids sort of like play and it's whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you play doctor, right? And so I got this shame experience very early on that then sort of stuck with me throughout oral sex. And then I did this oral sex project where I was filming my oral sex videos on how to give great hand and mouth combinations.
Are these
using
your
hands during
DVDs?
Oral, the DVDs, the oral sex DVDs. Okay. And then oralsexforcouples.com. I've given like 1,000 websites. I have 1,000 of them. And the book that's coming out in January is all these hand and mouth combinations, how to use your hands with your mouth. But I tell the story in the book and how I unraveled the shame around oral sex specifically, because that was the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Oral sex is bad. I am bad. And how as children we sort of get this, our first masturbation experiences or our parents catching us or all the things that we're told, and we get all the shame. So to answer you, this is a long answer to your question, which is about, you know, it has been a process of unraveling. I think I came in very sexual, mm-hmm. and very sexually ecstatic and very sexually alive. And then over time, it was shamed out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally, when someone touched my genitals, I would feel pain. I had some kind of very interesting thing where I was totally aroused and I would actually have orgasms without someone touching me. And then as soon as they touched me, it was like everything in my body short-circuited and I would feel pain instead of pleasure.
Huh.
And so that was a process. And I think it's why I do what I do. I mean, all of these processes around releasing shame and being like, I know that something is there for me ecstatically. And I've had the most amazing, enlightened, ecstatic, you know, experiences during sex. And yet I have all this stuff. And so... Mm-hmm. How do I unravel it? And then how do I help other people to get to that place? And I think we don't even know what's possible. And so that's why my mission has been, what is erotically possible? And how do I keep releasing these layers of shame, releasing this stuff from my past that allows me to get to a higher level of ecstasy that I never even, I think I get there. I'm like, oh my God, nothing can be fucking better than this is. And then I get to like another level and I'm like, oh, wow, there was more. There's always more. And I think that I will always be learning about sex and always on this journey.
Do you high five a lot at these moments?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of a high fiver. Like when something amazing happens, you're like, ah!
Those geeky things. Yeah, my poor partners.
They're just so tired. Their arms are just like, oh.
Yeah. God, she's making me have sex with her again.
Okay, speaking of, okay, so erotic possibilities. Mm-hmm. Something I've noticed when we talk about sex with people is that they think like, okay, what is erotically allowed and possible? It's, you know, on women, it's click, click, clit, vag, vag, vag. You know,
right.
Poke, 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 click, clit, vag, find the G-spot, find the G-spot. Oh, right. I can't find it. Oh, I'm a failure. You know, like it's very compartmentalized. On guys, it's very like jerk, 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 suck, suck, suck. I mean, this
pogo
is,
stick.
Right. And of course, just in my own sort of, you know, exploring oral sex, hand sex, all of that. It's like, oh, you can do this and you can do that and you can do this other thing. And the erotic possibilities are, well, endless.
Yes.
But I've noticed that a lot of people have with their hands are very grabby.
Clawy. I call it the claw hand.
And like when I talk to people on like how to do like a hand job or just cup of vulva, it's, you know, and I have people test how they grip. They mainly will like just crush with their fingers. Like they're texting their arm, you know, like in a class. and so it's just, do you have any exercises or anything people can practice to kind of like get more into like how to, because I mean,
to soften the hand. One of the things that I talk about a lot is just letting your hands enjoy. Sorry, I just touched you without asking permission. I thought we had a blanket. That means a blanket permission.
Yeah, no.
May I demonstrate on you again?
Go for it.
Okay. One of the things is like allowing your hands to soften and just soften on your partner, like melting, as opposed to like, oh, hi, here I am, and I'm gonna like the high squeeze. The
first time she sort of just like gently laid her hand on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, sort of smacked it.
But not like a light and like soft finger touch, but like did she melt? Does it feel like, did you feel the surface of her entire hand?
Yeah. And I think that's important too. Like we lose stillness in sex. Mm-hmm. And I think stillness is really important in touch, mm-hmm. to just be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we think like I have to be doing something. I have to be flicking, mm-hmm. or clit or doing or sucking or pogo sticking or whatever, mm-hmm. as opposed to just like being with the body and being in the stillness, and there's a lot of arousal in the stillness, and then what comes out of the stillness is a deeper level of pleasure, a higher, you know, we could say it's deeper level, and it's also higher ecstatically. And so so out of the stillness, but going back to like kind of enjoying as opposed to having claw hands, because claw hands kind of come out of tentativeness and not being confident and competent about what mm-hmm. you're doing, is what I do is I'll just have one partner lay against the other. Mm-hmm. And the partner laying on the other partner's chest is receiving, and the other one's giving, and they're exploring the body, trying to find what feels good to their hand.
Oh, so the hand is essential.
The one
organ.
Moving your hand.
So what yeah. I'm doing is I'm playing on his arm right now, and I'm just trying to find what feels really good to my hand. Like, that feels really good right there.
It's hard for me to maintain composure. Yes. Over here, just saying. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would phone. Even, like, I like in between the fingers with my fingers. He's graduated trying to distract college. Himself over here with the iPhone. Okay, so I have an iPhone peeve.
It's an Android, so.
Oh, the Android. I have an Android iPhone thing peeve.
What, because people look
what
at
do you
it all the time?
I have clients who, like, are in bed together, and they're, like, checking their phones and texting. And I'm like, no, no, no. Like, look at each other, touch each other, you know? Like, we forgot. Like, see, you can put the phone down and make love, please. So.
Can you just spoon naked and use your phones? Is that a compromise?
No. Put the phones down, people.
But they're fine.
I know.
No, I agree.
So isn't this better than looking at your phone?
Oh, she's touching
this
her neck
is
now.
So much better than looking at my phone. Yeah. She's touching my neck now.
You know, here's another bony handle if I wanted to get
it. It is like really hard for me
she's
to not
touching the back of his neck.
Hit on you like crazy right now. Very, very difficult.
And then the other thing is too, like the entering the body is just as important as the exit. We, you know, as you soften your hands and your hands are just playing with what they enjoy. I mean, like, find the crevices, find the heat, find the things that feel really good. But the exit is just as important. So I'm not just going to leave his body.
You're not just going to lift your hand off. Yeah. Goodbye. No.
I'm going to linger out.
And she's at his fingertips, and then she's just.
And I'm still touching him.
And she's just leaving the tips of his fingers. That was so sexy to watch.
It was sexy to be a part of.
Yeah. How did it feel?
It felt great. Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to like claw hands.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm really into.
Yeah, he's really into claw hands.
I hook up with crabs. I like crabs. Yeah. Not the disease, the Not animal.
The animal. Yeah, you like crab hands?
Yeah.
Crustaceans.
I like to fuck a lobster.
You know, maybe if you're doing a little role play, you know, two lobsters in bed. How would lobsters fuck?
No, an actual lobster is what.
you're into the pinching pain
consensually,
thing.
Consensually, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. As long as the lobster's okay with it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They have to sign a release.
Yeah.
because I know you have a weekly radio show, right?
Uh-huh. Well, it was a radio show, and
a radio show on what? I'm sorry for interrupting. On what station?
It's on iTunes. People can download it like a podcast.
Oh, okay. What is it called?
It was on Voice America. It's called Sex with Jaya.
Ew.
And we've recently, though, changed it. We took it from being just a radio show to a multimedia show because I decided I wanted to do like field trips and film it. And because I do all this hands-on stuff, it was like people have to start seeing
all this
stuff. It's really hard to describe. So I started doing field trips just like 2-3 months ago, and we started filming, and we're going up to San Francisco actually in a couple weeks, and I'm really excited because I'm filming a lot of somatic, meaning hands-on, you know, practitioners up there, including a woman named Cheryl Good. Who, have you heard about the film The Sessions?
Oh, I think I might be going to see that today, actually.
It's incredible. I saw the screening here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and Helen Hunt was there. Oh, Cheryl Green. Sorry, I said the wrong name. So Cheryl Green, and I'm going up there to interview her about The Sessions. And the film is incredible. I like bawled my eyes out. I went up to the filmmaker and I was like, I love the film. And I just like started bawling. I couldn't even talk anymore because it's the story of a woman who's a sex surrogate, which is a very much of a hands-on sex like therapy. And she's working with a man who's a paraplegic, and it's a true story. And it's I've had such amazing work with my students because I do have the opportunity to do more of a hands-on type of work and educating. And I've worked with those kinds of students and mm-hmm. clients, and you know, I've worked with people without legs. I've worked with people who are 500 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked with people who've never been touched before, ever, like 57 years old mm-hmm. and has never been touched by a woman. I mean,
yeah,
these kinds of stories. So the film really touched me. It's a comedy. Don't think it's like, mm-hmm. you know, a serious film. I laughed my ass off, and I didn't cry until I actually like went to talk to the filmmakers afterwards because, and hearing Helen Hunt talk about it, because she really seemed like she was on a mission mm-hmm. to be very sex positive.
Ooh, good to know.
So that was really good because she was like, you know what, my daughters are learning about sex, and you know, 85%, I forget the statistics, she said something like 84% of girls just want to know how to tell their partner how to please them without hurting their feelings. Mm. And she seemed really like, you know, this is really important. We really need to educate, especially young people, about sex. Like,
yeah,
what's the deal? What's the big deal?
And we need more celebrities talking sex positively. Yeah. And yeah. openly.
So I was really touched by her talking very positively and the filmmakers being brave enough to make a film about the subject. So
that was a field trip.
Yeah, that was a field trip, and we're going up to San Francisco.
Great.
To continue the field trip and talk to the actual real life sex surrogate who mm-hmm. did this work.
Yeah. So I want to have a sex surrogate on the show at some point.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Very fun.
I kind of want to switch gears. Do you have any more questions on hand stuff before okay. I mean, this is all related, but I know you know so much about stuff. Oh, okay. Actually, male versus female bodies
mm-hmm.
or just differences you notice between like, you know, people who have more of a fat layer on their bodies mm-hmm. versus like, you know, people who are leaner, like mm-hmm. handling different types of bodies. Do you notice like how you need to change, like, people tend to have certain preferences of touch?
You know, it's really interesting. Different bodies, less so than different genital types. I would get into more specifics around genital types of what I've noticed, how they like to be touched versus, and how they respond and how they react versus other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a myriad of different genital types. I mean, everybody is different in their own way, but I have noticed, like, for example, men whose testicles are very high up against their body
mm-hmm.
and have usually like a thinner penis mm-hmm. usually are more prone to quick ejaculation. So I do a lot of actual testicle like work with them, like working on sort of it's a tension sometimes in the body where the testicles sort of pull up. So I do a lot of stuff on sort of relaxing the testicles, getting the testicles to drop down a little bit more. Because I don't know if you ever notice when your guy comes, his testicles pull really high up in the body.
It makes sense.
So there's this like certain type of male genitals that I've noticed where the testicles naturally sort of live in that place, and then they tend to be quicker at ejaculation. So I would touch them much differently than I would touch, say, a guy who has like kind of like what I would say like bull testicles, like mm-hmm. bigger testicles that hang very low, and usually the penis is more stocky. That type of penis, like, you can really get into more vigorous play with that kind of penis, more higher arousal techniques than the other type. And so that, like, that's really fascinating to me. That something that I've noticed mm-hmm. over the years in working with a lot of bodies is that there's these different kinds of genitals for women. Usually, like when you say, I call them the Stepford vaginas, like when they've been, when
these are the ones that have gone through labiaplasties
and stuff like that. Like that type of vagina usually has less sensitivity, less ability to orgasm. Just something I've noticed.
So this is a surgically changed
vulva. Again, like you can tell my opinion about surgically changed vulvas because I call them the Stepford vaginas. But you know, and I've also had women with boob jobs who have no feeling at mm-hmm. all. So it's like sort of like, how do we sensitize? How do we get the nerves back alive? How do we work the scar tissue? So that would be a whole different type of session than a woman who's usually like more voluptuous women. Like they have more estrogen in their body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to, they have a different biochemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Like women who have bigger hips, bigger breasts, they have a different biochemistry. So they're affected different. Maybe they get more wet
mm-hmm.
and not that lubrication is always a signal of arousal, but they are, because there's another type. There's a type of vulva that just doesn't, they can be highly aroused, but they do not lubricate very mm-hmm. much. And that's just like their norm mm-hmm. is that. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It's just, that's a different type, a body type and vulva type. Like the size 0, small, petite girl who has the tight vulva, you know, like, mm-hmm. yeah, the tight vulva, the smaller clitoris, it's a different type of body. And so I would touch it very differently. So then someone who is more voluptuous, bigger lipped, they usually have a easier time, I would say, in my experience with working with a lot of women.
So within noticing different body types, like different vulvas, mm-hmm. you've noticed that, like, because you've handled so many bodies that right. the, you know, the smaller vulvas with small clits tend to like similar sensations. Because you know, we like to say, like, everyone's different, but you are noticing a certain trend in terms of
Body typing. I would say everyone's different, and everybody has, depending on their history, because just like, say, a bike trauma, that's going to change something. Like the woman I was working on whose G-spot was slanted to the right, where there's something going on in her pelvic floor that may have caused that slant to happen. Now, is it something we necessarily have to fix? No. If it's not bothering her, if it's not impeding any kind of pleasure or orgasmic ability, then no. But then sometimes, like women who are very tight, like, and very small bodied and small hipped sometimes, it's like we've got to work on opening that up and opening up, because the G-spot can literally get pulled up high because the muscles and the tendons and everything are kind of like bundling that up and pulling things.
High, do you mean deeper in vaginally?
No,
or do you
high
mean-
as in up, like, okay. it gets up like above the bone, like, and we got to kind of like coax it down.
Okay.
Not that it literally gets up above the bone, but I think you can
it rotates
see.
Back.
It moves and- up and in, mm-hmm. and then it gets really, really difficult for them to feel any kind of sensation or pleasure because the G-spot has like sort of like sucked up. And mm-hmm. so not deeper in the vaginal canal, but up. Mm-hmm.
Would external
roof.
Pressure above the
pubic bone help?
Pubic bone help yep. to push it back down?
It does help. But the big thing that's going to help there is pelvic floor relaxation and sort of helping them open up a little bit because things have gotten so tight in the pelvic floor.
Sure.
So when it comes to different body types, yes, I would say that there are certain ways that people like to be touched, but every individual, like, I'll have surprises, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll get somebody who I'm like, oh, they're that certain type, and then they're like totally orgasmic and like crazy, and so I can't say that it's an absolute all okay. the time, but I have noticed themes.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I want a book just on that. Like, yeah. I want, like, a poster, you know? I just, like, if your balls-penis combo look like this, maybe. No.
Like, do you always call it a balls-penis combo?
No, I've never actually thought about that the balls and the penis could have, like, a relationship in yeah. terms of their look. I would think of them as two separate entities that, yeah. you know, are separately sort of have a personality or look a
really?
Certain way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
interesting.
No, I mean, like, they're a set, they're a package, but I don't think, oh, you've got bull testicles and stocky penis. Like, right. I've never thought of those two things as
analogous.
Yeah, like you can have bull testicles and, like, long, thin penis. Like, right. I never thought of those two needing to go together or not, you know, or, you know, really tense, scared scrotum and, you know, stocky right. penis.
Scared balls, right. sure.
Scared balls.
Yeah. Or very tight. Mm-hmm. Vulva. You know, it's interesting because it's usually like the typing we see in like porn mm-hmm. are those really tight, sort of like smaller.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have the certain type that I think
very clean looking.
Very clean looking. And for the most part, a lot of that type that I see, like the model type, is not necessarily the most ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like we think about what we think looks great. This is a great thing. So I think it's really important for people to know what their eyes are attracted to versus what their body is attracted mm-hmm. to. If in thinking about it from a body-based profession, I think about these things. And I was doing an exercise in a workshop once where we had to close our eyes and just walk around the room and feel bodies. Like this is like 30 people, right? And we're just walking around the room, bumping into each other's bodies. And I'm like bumping up against and noticing what feels good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the hard, bony, thin people did not feel good to my body. But then I was rubbing up against this woman who was really voluptuous. Like people would call her obese, mm-hmm. you know, big boobed, totally voluptuous. And I was just like, yum. Oh my God.
Her.
I just want to like fall in all those folds. It felt so good. And I was like, this is really interesting because the type of guy that I like is like the skinny, scrawny, even men who are smaller than me, like mm-hmm. bony guy. And I really learned in that my eyes are attracted to something completely different
oh, yeah.
than what my body is attracted to.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is an important thing, you know, from what we've learned. Men are so visual, especially, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you get certain people naked and you're just like, oh, you don't feel that good.
Yeah. But I want to fall. Like, I have a partner now who I like wouldn't have like, now that I know this about myself, I would have never like dated him because my eyes didn't like the way it looked. Mm-hmm. But then we fall in bed together and I'm like, oh, yum. Oh my yeah. God. Oh, ugh. Okay. I'm never getting rid of you because you're just so yummy. Mm-hmm. So
kind of reminds me of like when two people are, you know, fall in love, get together, and they start gaining weight together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though you're like, oh, we're not as maybe as sexy looking as we used to be, but there is a certain like, oh, cuddle me. Uh-huh. Like, there's a certain like, yeah, we're so soft.
Uh-huh.
There's that. God, well, we have a little bit more time. I was wondering if, I don't know, Dave, are you doing okay over there?
Doing
great.
Do
you want to do more demos?
Sure.
Oh, I did want to, well, I...
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. Sandra, leave.
I mean, I would love if you touched on just real quick, like we don't have to get too crazy into it, mm-hmm. but no, there's how many chakras are there? Seven chakras?
There's seven chakras.
Okay.
And what is a chakra?
Okay. So this is, we're going to woo land now. What I call
does that
woo
mean?
Land. So a chakra is a Sanskrit word that means wheel.
Okay.
And on the body, there are actually more than seven. There's a number of them. And they're also, think of the nervous system.
Okay.
So with the nervous system, we have nerves that go all over the body. And in Sanskrit or in energetic medicine, they would call these nadis. So it's like the nervous system, but this is the energetic system. And also we have spots where there are a lot of like nerve plexuses, like the solar plexus in the body is a nerve plexus. Well, corresponding to those nerve plexuses are usually a chakra, which is an energetic center on the body, a wheel. And they say that these hold certain types of information. They're energy centers that correspond to different things. And it makes sense. If you think about it more as the endocrine system or the nervous system, it makes more sense, I think. That if we can think about it, if we're looking at a geeky, you know, pragmatic way.
Yeah, let's not be woo-woo. That, gross.
Yeah, I don't like being too woo-woo. I don't like getting too airy-fairy. But I do have a background in airy-fairiness, so.
I don't really understand any of these adjectives at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
The meat,
I think I get that. I think I understand
Forgetting the chakra thing for a minute, the meat of my question was, just real quickly, you'd mentioned that there are different colors, right? Like, oh, I want to play in red. I want to play in blue, because I've seen her talk a few times. And just... Because we talked, like we had this archetype episode months ago, and with Chelsea Wakefield, who was a therapist that practices out east, and it was phenomenal about like finding like, ooh, you want to be like a tiger tonight, or like, ooh, I want to be the geisha, like don't be the mom, like you know the mom archetype, sexy all the time.
Of the mom.
Yeah,
unless of course you're playing mommy daddy role play,
right?
I mean,
unless it's
know, that might be.
But
fun.
What is like, what are the different colors and the types of sex that would be related to each color?
Sure. So there are getting away from the chakra system, there's actually something called spiral dynamics, and there are different colors of consciousness. So they just assign a color to the level of consciousness. So like red consciousness is the it's all about me. It's all about like, sure. Like just suck my dick, you know?
Yeah.
I told my partner, like, I really want you to get more red. Like, let's do a little role play where you're just like, shut up and suck it. Like, that's red. That is red sex. That's the, like, it's all about me. I just want you to please me. It's that level of consciousness. When you start, so red is actually not the bottom. What's more at the bottom is purple. So purple would be the first one, level of consciousness. And purple is sort of like superstitious. So purple would be something like that fear of, you know, if we have sex before marriage, lightning might strike us. Like, that would be a purple level of consciousness.
Hairy
around.
Palms.
Yeah, I'm going to get hairy palms from masturbating. Yeah. Like, it has that sort of, like, if I was going to say purple sex would be totally like hairy palms or I'm going to go blind. Mm-hmm. It's that level of consciousness. So red, then it moves into, it's all about me because I'm getting away from the superstition. I'm moving into, like, I'm not going to get hairy palms. I'm just going to, like, masturbate, right? And then the next level from red goes into is blue, and blue is rules oriented. So we need something to control the red because the red is like, fuck me all the time. I don't
care
about you.
I mean, like, we can only make out.
Yeah, yeah. So like blue would be something like, you have to keep your underwear on while I'm going to go down on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you create a rule, which I think rules are very hot because they mystery and obstacle equals hot attraction. You know, we think about it, Twilight movies or anything, Romeo and Juliet, there's always like mystery and obstacle. So
it's a very erotic mind.
Yes, Jack Moran's work. Mm-hmm. And so I love Jack Moran. And so there's that element of rules that are blue, and people have rules. And so I also, not just to make sex more exciting to use rules, but also to like examine your rules. Like I was just talking about, I have a rule that when I meet somebody at a workshop and I teach them, I won't have sex with them because now they're my student. Mm-hmm. And that's a rule. I may really like you, but I'm not going to have sex with you for at least 90 days because I met you at a workshop and there's a power dynamic.
Okay. So it's 90 days.
It's 90 days is my rule.
Okay.
so I have certain rules in place or, you know, like what are your rules, examine them, and then also like we're gonna have blue sex tonight, I want to implement some rules tonight, which are we have to keep our clothes on or whatever, you know, you have to fuck me through my panties or whatever that is. And then out of blue is orange, and orange would be like technology and science. All you sex geeks, this is totally like geekery island, which is where, you know, you want to get out like all the new gadgets, like, oh, I have some gloves that vibrate, ha ha ha, or you know, I'm gonna play with this vibrator, or it's all about that technology and sex. Like I'm gonna have sex with a robot tonight. Mm-hmm. Like that would be orange sex. And then
or blue, or like the rule is you're a robot.
The rule is you're a robot, and we're mixing blue and orange tonight. So then out of the orange comes yellow, and yellow takes care of all the colors. So I call yellow like full spectrum sex, which is where you're sort of using all of the different colors, and you're able in, you know, sorry, out of orange comes green. I'm confusing people. So out of orange comes green. Green sex is your tantra woo woo chakra stuff,
like let's monkey like, breath and
like yeah oh. Let's breathe together and eye gaze and do hand all right, let's do hand heart connection. Ready? Okay.
I really okay wait.
Put your hand on my heart.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now put your other hand over my hand. Okay.
Okay.
And now we're gonna look in each other's eyes.
Wait, and I'm gonna take a picture.
Okay. We're gonna look in each other's eyes and we're gonna breathe together. So we had our moment of woo-woo. We had our moment of woo-woo. We did that's a little tantra together.
Yeah, I don't understand what woo-woo means. I don't understand what that is at all.
Woo-woo
is
like, okay, if I started talking about like, I see your sexual energy and I'm gonna actually send you sexual energy right now. And like, you know, like started talking about energy and
so bullshit,
and spirituality, right? And you know, it's a different level of consciousness to see sure. his consciousness is not a green consciousness. His consciousness right. is like orange or red, or you know, I don't know what sure, it is sure. exactly, but you know, like
I'm actually not averse to things like that. It's yeah. just I'm a cynical person.
Yeah. So for the cynical, like green is like I want to hug trees and make love out in the forest while we're eye gazing, and you know, it's very soft. Mm-hmm. And what I see a lot of in my practice right now with my clients is there's a lot of green men mm-hmm. with a lot of women who are like, I just want you to be red for red. A moment. Like give me some red, you know? And green can be very scared to go into the other places because they judge it, you know, mm-hmm. as bad or wrong. Whereas, which is where yellow comes in, which is really nice because yellow takes care of everything. Mm-hmm. Yellow can play anywhere. And that's really what I think. If I was going to have a goal, it would be, I want to be full spectrum. I want to be able to play. Like if I have a girl in front of me who's like totally like, I want to eye gaze and breathe with you and breathe in and out of each other's hearts. And then we're going to send energy to each other's genitals. Well, okay. I can play green. Mm-hmm. If I have a girl who's in front of me, who's like, just fuck me, bend me over and put it in. Well, I can play red. You know, if I have a girl who's like, let's get the vibrator out tonight. And you know, while you're doing me, let's have a little clitoral stimulation. I can play orange and not be intimidated by playing in all these different areas.
I just had a realization yeah. that especially being a sex person and getting a lot of toys is mm-hmm. that it kind of, there's this expectation that you play in the yellow, the orange zone
all
a lot.
The time.
Cause right. it's like, oh, I got to try this new yep. sex toy. And yep. then you're like, but I just want to cuddle and like all green or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
But no, I thank you for breaking that down. I know it was like out of nowhere, like pull all this information yeah. out of your brain.
No, it's kind of the new thing I've been looking at and examining and I'm writing about because I'm working on my PhD right now, but it is the different levels of sex consciousness mm-hmm. and how we may get stuck somewhere and then how we can play more fully with our partner, because I think that's something that can keep things hot and mm-hmm. passionate is like, I'm going to tie a red scarf on the door tonight. I want you to come in and fuck me red. You know, I'm going to tie a green scarf on the door tonight. And that means, mm-hmm. you know, I want to play more in the
I'd have
cuddle.
To tape a little legend to the doors. I'd be like, wait, what is this one? Oh, okay, toys. All right,
sex lab.
Tape a dotted line to the door.
Jaya, thank you for coming out and sharing everything.
You're very welcome.
We just talked a lot, and you touched Dave a lot. That was really fun.
Yeah.
I agree.
If Jaya's going to be on your show, I have to touch somebody, even if it's myself.
Next time, I sit next to her.
You guys missed that. I was rubbing my breast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed it. Okay.
He saw it.
I did.
Yeah, but people listening to us can't hear me. Can you hear me touch my breasts?
Actually, I could
hear
that.
She did it. She did it. I saw it. It's cool.
I can hear that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just hovering. I'm doing the first layer of touch. I'm not actually.
You also refer to yourself in the third person. Is that a common thing?
Yeah.
If Jaya's going to be on your show, Jaya's got to touch herself.
I do that. You know, the Jaya. It's a kind of
the
joke.
Jaya?
It's kind of a joke around our house. Like the Jayanator. You know, I'm like, I'm just one big sex toy. Mm-hmm.
The Jayanator.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you pick that one? That's a crazy.
No,
that sounds
these
crazy.
Are the names they call me around the house. You know, they speak about me like
how many
I'm not,
people
like
live
I'm
in
not
your house?
Home. Let's see. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 adults and a 3.5-year-old.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a household.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I still manage to have sex labs.
Mm-hmm. Do it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a whole other topic, sex with when you have children.
Sure.
It's very difficult. Situation.
That is a thing.
Well, Jayanator, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. We'll put up all your links and Twitter and everything on the Nerdist.com website. Is there any particular URL you want to leave us with?
RedHotTouch.com will pretty much get you to my, you know, books and DVDs and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
And I have your Genital Massage for Women DVD at home, just like begging to be watched. So.
Yes, please watch it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
learning.
What's this? Oh, and I'm getting a note to MissJaya.com, we should say. MissJaya.com. And my name is spelled Jaya. That's kind of a hard one, but Jaya.
Sweet.
Yes. All Go right. touch someone, please.
Dave, you want to share emails and stuff?
Sure. I'm emails, huh? We're doing email?
Well, where do people find you and stuff?
DaveToTheRoss.com is my website. Follow me on Twitter at DaveToTheRoss, and my email address is DaveToTheRoss@gmail.com.
All right.
Just try Dave to the Ross on any website. It's probably me.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's good branding. You're just there.
I'm just
as
there.
That person.
I hope no one steals it for anything.
Why
and misrepresents
they,
me.
Better TM it.
There are mean people in the world.
I am SexNerdSandra@gmail.com and on Twitter everywhere. Just Google it. Sex Nerd Sandra. And I appreciate you for listening to this wherever you are.
Thank you for listening.
Bye
bye.
Sex Nerds Unite.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.